You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Good morning. I'm Logan, the youth pastor here, and I've been so looking forward to this time together this morning. We are in a series called Summer School, where the pastors and myself are bringing you guys scripture that are meaningful to us. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at a simple, sweet psalm, Psalm 150. And so I'm going to invite y'all to open up your Bibles up to Psalm 150 or to read along on the screen with me. Let's read this together. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we too, I think Susan called us the big people, will begin by taking in a deep breath. Yes. Maybe you have wondered before how it is that we are able to breathe, and I would love to enlighten you this morning. The structure of the lungs and thoracic cavity control mechanics of breathing. Upon inspiration, the diaphragm contracts and lowers. The intercostal muscles contract and expand the chest wall outward. The intrapleural pressure drops. The lungs expand and air is drawn into the airways. So there you go. That is how we breathe. There seems to be this pressure chamber created by our biology that allows us to breathe. But we know that our biology isn't the only reason that we are able to breathe. Every breath that we take is a gift from God. There's nothing we could do to muster up the strength enough to breathe for ourselves. Each breath that we take is a breath from the Lord. Our psalm says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Praise him. Praise the Lord. Maybe you heard that this morning as we were reading it. 13 times we are instructed to praise the Lord. And so I got curious about this activity of praise. What does praise mean? Well, praise is an expression of warm adoration. An expression of warm adoration. And then I got to wondering, what is the opposite of praise? And myself, I was thinking, is it hatred? Is it a bad attitude? But none of that really seemed to fit. So I turned to Google. And Google says that the opposite of praise is criticism. The opposite of praise is criticism. And if you're like me, you might notice that you find yourself in this back and forth state throughout your days between praise and criticism. Praise and criticism. Maybe even this morning already, you can put your finger on a moment where you were in a posture of praise, and maybe you can already put your finger on a moment that you were in a posture of criticism. Back and forth between these two. Well, the interesting thing about praise and criticism is that they are always directed towards someone or something. And this morning, our psalm is very clear about who our praise should be directed towards. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise him. Praise the Lord. And in our psalm, I think that we get a lot of information about this activity of praise. I think we actually get it in a sort of classic sense that you might remember from elementary school, the W questions. Who, what, when, where, why? And so this morning, I want us to come to the text with the curiosity of children, about this activity of praise. And we're going to get some of these questions answered in the order of where, why, how, and who. And so first, where? Where do we praise the Lord? Verse 1 says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Now, this first place in his sanctuary will make sense to us, because here we are this morning gathered together in the Lord's sanctuary. We've come with one objective, to praise the Lord. And the founder of Methodism, John Wesley, actually had a word for what we are doing here this morning. He called it conferencing. And he said that conferencing is a means of grace. And a means of grace is a way that God works invisibly in our lives. Some other examples of means of grace are our sacraments that we take, as well as serving others, works of mercy. And so a means of grace, a way that God works invisibly in our life, is by conferencing and joining together. We know that where two or three are gathered, God is here. And so we can trust that he is working invisibly among us whenever we conference and gather together. Where do we praise the Lord? We praise God in his sanctuary, coming together with the objective of praising the Lord. And the second place our scripture gives us where we might praise the Lord is in his mighty heavens. Now, this one might seem a little bit more confusing. You say, Logan, I don't have any way of getting there right now. And what does that mean for all the other places on earth? But I really do have some exciting news for us. It turns out that us humans here on earth with our feet on the ground, any time that we praise the Lord with our voices, when we sing praises to God, we are actually joining in with the heavenly choirs, the angels that sing to God eternally. Whenever we sing right here on Sunday mornings, we are entering in to that worship with those in the heavens. And so to praise God in his mighty heavens is simply to sing praise to him anywhere that you are, whether you're here in the sanctuary, whether you're in your car on the way home, in your house, in the desert, or on the mountaintop. Praise the Lord. And when we do so, we are praising him in his mighty heavens, entering in to the heavenly choirs when we sing. That is so cool to me. Where do we praise the Lord? We praise him in his sanctuary, and we praise him in his mighty heavens. In other words, it is appropriate to praise God everywhere. And our next W question is why? Why do we praise the Lord? Verse 2 says for us, praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. This might seem a little bit abstract to us. Praise God for his acts of power and surpassing greatness. Why should we praise God? Something that I like to do to help myself think through this question is give myself two prompts. The first prompt is, what acts of power has God done in the Bible that amazes me and brings me to a place of praise? What acts of power has God done in the Bible that amazes me and brings me to a place of praise? The Bible holds the stories from creation all the way to Revelation. We see these amazing works of God, from him creating the earth to him refusing to turn away from his rebellious people, all the way to him sending his son as our Savior to come and live a perfect life. And then to sacrifice himself on the cross, so that whenever we stand before the Lord, our sins will not be counted against us, but instead they'll be counted against him. But when he died, it was dark, and it was dark for 3 days. But on the third day, he rose from the grave. Death was defeated. Amen? And we look back on his life. We see healing. We see miracles. We see stories of his disciples doing the same with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know, we wait with anticipation for the second coming and for the bodily resurrection. These are the amazing acts that we see of God in the Bible. And if not all of them, at least some of them, do they bring you to a place of praise where you say, praise God, you are glorious, amazing, magnificent. I praise you, Lord, for the things that you have done. This is our ancestry. This is the kingdom that we have become a part of as Christians. And so we praise the Lord for the way that he has acted and his acts of power in the past. And then the second prompt that comes to mind for me is, how has God worked in my very own life? Where have I seen God in my life? Whether today or last week or over the last couple of months or years, where have I seen him work? And so if you have trouble with this at all and need reminding of the kind of work that God does, one thing that you can do is think about the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, just to name a few. Anywhere that we see these fruits of the Spirit, we are seeing God at work. Anytime we see love, joy, peace, patience in our world, it's an incredible thing. That is an act of God. Or maybe there have been times where you have felt like there was no way through in a situation, and the Lord made a way. Or there was a very dark place, a dark situation, and it got lit up. That is the work of God. He redeems, he restores, he heals, he brings us hope. And so if you have seen any of these things in your life in the last couple of days or weeks or month, you have seen an act of God. You have seen his surpassing greatness. These are the reasons why we praise. We praise because of what he has done in the Bible. We praise because of the way we've seen him work in our lives, for his acts of power and surpassing greatness. So where do we praise God? In his sanctuary and in his mighty heavens. And why? For his acts of power and surpassing greatness. Now our next question is, how? How do we praise the Lord? And we're going to turn to verses 3-5. We're going to read a list of instruments. And you're going to think, Logan, how does this answer this question? But bear with me. Verse 3. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. So first, praise the Lord with the sounding trumpet. People reading this back in the time when this was written would know that a trumpet was used whenever the beginning of celebrations or festivals were happening. So trumpets were blown to be a unifying sound, bringing the people together at the beginning of a special occasion, a celebration, a festival. And then it says, praise the Lord with harp and lyre. No knock, if you do not know what a lyre is, I did not either, but it is something comparable to a harp, a stringed instrument that would be used in a worship setting to praise the Lord. Praise God with timbrel and dancing. A timbrel is something comparable to a tambourine. And I love that in this passage, the timbrel and dancing are paired together, because if you've ever played a tambourine before, you know, it's nearly impossible to play it without dancing a little bit. Timbrel and dancing, these are acceptable ways to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord with strings and pipes. Now, strings and pipes were something of more casual instruments, more day-to-day. For us, I think about maybe playing guitar or singing on the back porch with family or friends. Or maybe you guys remember those recorders that they used to give us in elementary school, and now they're all thrown in the back of our closets. You know, you could think about that as the pipes, these casual instruments that can be used to praise the Lord. And finally, the clash of cymbals and resounding cymbals. Some of you guys are thinking that you're safe because you feel that you are not particularly gifted in music. But I have news for you. I do think any of us are capable of at least clashing together some cymbals. This includes all of us, and that is an acceptable way of praising the Lord. Amen. And so this list of instruments, it's not just about getting the old band together. I actually think we can learn quite a bit about how to praise the Lord through what we've been given here in verses 3-5. First, we praise the Lord through music. There, it is no accident that it is a custom of ours as Christians to gather together and to sing. I think we can all agree that music has potential to make us feel a certain way and to bring about revelation that is really difficult to come by if it's not through music. We have seen the way music impacts us, whether it's hearing a song on the radio and tearing up on your way to work, or being in worship and listening to the words and being moved. Listening and singing music also is a way that we allow time and space for the Holy Spirit to come and touch our lives. Whenever we're singing here together, that is an opportunity for us to be open to the work of the Spirit. Music is a powerful thing, and music is one of the ways that we are instructed to praise the Lord. The second way that we praise God is with our bodies. We praise Him with our bodies because these are not just here for keeping us alive. It is not only about our biology, but our bodies are to be given back to the Lord as a living sacrifice. And one of the ways that we do that is by praising Him with our bodies. We also see the example of Jesus Christ. Our Savior came down to earth and was 100% human and 100% divine. He Himself took on a body. It was a blessed thing. And we see this beautiful example of His, of giving His body back as a living sacrifice. We get to do that with our praise, as well as by serving others, being the hands and feet of Jesus. Our bodies are a way that we praise the Lord. And the third way that we praise the Lord actually isn't so much a how, as I think it is the answer to our when question. When do we praise the Lord? Well, you remember the trumpet. It sounded at the festivals and the celebrations. You remember the recorder and the guitar that we play on the back porch. From special occasions to the mundane days, we praise the Lord at all times. Praise Him on all occasions. So how do we praise the Lord? We praise Him with music and with our bodies. And when do we praise the Lord? On all occasions. I mean every moment of our life. The high points, the low points, tens of times a day, could be hundreds of times a day, thousands, we find ourselves saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. When do we praise the Lord? On all occasions. And our final W question, who? Who praises the Lord? Verse 6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's take in another breath together. This breath, not something that we could muster up for ourselves. It is a gift from God. And so, who praises the Lord? Everyone who has breath. What? Praise the Lord. When? Whenever we breathe. Where? Wherever we breathe. And why? Because we have breath in our lungs. And the giver of our breath is worthy of all of our praise. He is worthy of all of our praise. It can be easy at times to forget the sweet invitation of this psalm, to praise the Lord at all times in all places. It's sweet and it's simple, praise the Lord. And yet, we often find ourselves in moments of our life being critical instead of praising, or at times praising things that maybe aren't so worthy of our praise, that truly pale in comparison to God's worthiness for our praise. Maybe you find yourself being critical at work or with the people around you or with your circumstances or maybe even with yourself, which I've learned is in itself a form of pride. Or maybe you find yourself praising things that just aren't God. Maybe other people, a relationship, materialism, sports, power, the next best thing. We find ourselves in states of praise, but sometimes it isn't directed towards the one and the only one who is truly worthy of our praise. And so this psalm is an invitation to turn away from that criticism, turn away from the praise that is due to him, is going to someone other than him, and instead to be single-hearted and single-minded with our praise to the Lord at all times, in all places. And so I want to invite us this morning to cling to these three words this week: praise the Lord. Whenever you wake up in the morning and you feel the breath in your lungs, praise the Lord. And you get up, and you go brush your teeth, you've got clean water to brush your teeth with, praise the Lord. And you go downstairs and you make your breakfast and your coffee, and you have provision. You have your daily bread in front of you, praise the Lord. And whenever you walk to your car, maybe you're singing or dancing and singing worship music. Worship music of all times in the morning is so helpful, orienting us towards the Lord as we begin our day. One of my favorites to sing is How Great Thou Art, giving us a moment of saying, God, you are so great. You are so worthy of my praise at the beginning of the day. And this pattern, this routine of praising the Lord through all that we do, can follow us all the way until the moment our head rests on the pillow, reciting scripture, praising the Lord, thanking him for the day that we had. It is always an acceptable and pleasing time to praise the Lord. And here's the thing, praising God, it's not just an invitation to avoid criticism. Something actually happens whenever we praise the Lord. I think the enemy shudders whenever we praise God. We all know the myth of multitasking. It's a hard thing to do. And so when we praise God, we are singularly focused on him rather than on those other things that can be tempting to us. Praise the Lord. Not only is it an invitation to praise him and avoid criticism, but also an invitation to be humble. To remember that, God, you are God and I am not. Whenever we praise the Lord, we find ourselves sitting at his feet. I don't know if you've ever heard of the image of the throne room, of people praying to God in the throne room, but I think one of the ways that we can bring ourselves there is by praising the Lord. When we praise him, we say, you are God and I am not, so worthy of my praise. And we find not only a peace there, but we remember our identity, our secure identity as children of God, that you are Father, I am child, and because of that, it is well with my soul. When we praise God, something actually happens. And it's something that from this passage today, we are invited to do in all places, at all times. Praise the Lord. He is so worthy of our praise. And so as you go about your week this week, let us cling to those three words, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are so worthy of our praise. God, perfectly good, perfectly glorious, perfectly just, perfectly holy. You are the one that we get to lift our voices and our songs to. And we thank you for that. We pray as we go throughout this week, Lord, that you would bring us to places of praise at unexpected times, times where we feel more prone to be critical, or times where we feel prone to praise something other than you. You would draw to mind for us that you are the one worthy of our praise, and that every time that we breathe, Lord, we would have that reminder. It is you who has put this breath in our lungs. We are so grateful, and it is our privilege, Lord, to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.